When Wright Thompson learned that I had a story in the annual volume of Best American Sports Writing a couple of years ago, he said, "There goes the neighborhood." But I've invited him back anyway because he's the guest editor of this year's edition. Welcome back, Wright.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we're joined by series editor Glenn Stout. Glenn, welcome back to you as well.
Thanks, as always, Bill.
I want to get right to what I consider one of the most unusual stories in this collection. Wells Tower, writing for GQ, made the cut with Who Wants to Shoot an Elephant? The essay establishes that elephants have a lot in common with people, right? Am I right about that? Does he accomplish that?
He accomplishes that, and it also does the thing that, for me, was the bar with the stories in this book, which is, it is both about the thing on the page and about something else. It is not just about someone going to kill an elephant. It is about all of the sort of existential questions about humanity that that quest prompts.
Glenn, what do you think? Does the story establish a rationale for hunting elephants? Is that the agenda here?
Well, it doesn't establish a rationale for hunting elephants, but it establishes a rationale for exploring death. I mean, yeah, we're writing about sports, and we're taking it real seriously, and we're being true and genuine and authentic to that. But that takes us to another place where we're also writing about love and loss and death and loneliness and all those other issues that fascinate us no matter what the entry point is. Sports is the entry point.
Still, you can't get to those larger issues without telling a story. So give our listeners some sense of what the story is here, and then whether when you pass the essay along to Wright, you had a queasy stomach.
Well, I mean, the story that Wells Tower tells is a family going on an elephant hunt, and it does make you feel uneasy. But it's a controversial story. I mean, I've heard from people who have told me they wish it wasn't in the book because they didn't like it because it's so uncomfortable. But, you know, books are not supposed to make you feel necessarily comfortable. I mean, the comfortable books put you to sleep.
That makes me so happy to hear that it made someone uncomfortable. That sort of makes my day. I bet people who shoot elephants loved it. And I bet people who hate shooting elephants loved it. And boy, that's a narrow needle to thread.
All right, strange story number two is titled In Deep by Burkhard Bilger. It's about people who spend weeks at a time underground in caves, cramped tunnels, and dark, cold water without knowing where they're going to end up. This was a story that made me incredibly uncomfortable. Certainly, it's extreme something, Glenn, but what makes it qualify as sport?
It's a quest. It's a physical challenge. I guess that makes it a sport. You know, I use the biggest net possible. But in a way, too, that story is a metaphor for all this stuff. You go in not knowing what you're going to find. You keep going until you find the story. And then you follow that story back out to the surface. And if you do the job right, you bring the reader along with you every step of the way. And when they get to the top of the water column and can finally breathe, they're changed.
Right. Any thoughts on caving as a sport? This is the sort of thing that made you want to climb into the earth somewhere?
Well, no. Dude, I don't like flying coach. I don't want to get in a cave. Dude, my super claustrophobic self was just like, oh, my God. You know, look, if Glenn sent it to me, it's a sport.
Simple definition.
You know, honestly, like, look, here's how the thing starts. On his 13th day underground, when he'd come to the edge of the known world and was preparing to pass beyond it, Marcin Gala placed a call to the surface. He traveled more than 3 miles through the earth by then, over stalagmites and boulder fields, cave-ins and vaulting galleries. He'd spidered down waterfalls, inched along crumbling ledges, and bellied through tunnels so tight that his back touched the roof with every breath. I'm like, okay, no way I'm going to stop reading.
No way I'm going in there, but no way I'm going to stop reading.
Exactly.
There are stories about more traditional sports in this volume. Haverford Hoops, for example, by Chris Ballard, regarding the Haverford men's basketball team's very long losing streak back in the early 90s. Wright, tell us a little bit about the streak and what made that story appealing.
You know, it's funny with this story. Like, I know Chris Ballard very well. And it is the story of Chris's brother, who was on the worst team that ever existed. And it is the story about teammates, which meant it was a story about bonds, which meant that it was a story about what is when you're young and what gets taken from you and how you come to regard those missing pieces.
you know, loss is the one thing we all experience. That's like the thread that unites us all, because we usually lose. We still continue in spite of it all. You know, that's why I identify with a story like that.
The recent demise of Grantland has led some to wonder if that has dealt a serious blow to long-form sports journalism, a format, Glenn, with which you are quite familiar. What do you think?
You know, Grantland goes away, someplace else will pop up. You're not going to stop the writers at Grantland. They're going to find places to write. So it sort of doesn't matter in a funny way. I mean, yeah, it's too bad because they paid people well and, you know, a lot of people got exposure there. But the hardest thing in the world is to try to stop people from telling stories. And it doesn't matter if ESPN disappears tomorrow or Sports Illustrated disappears tomorrow or the New York Times goes away tomorrow. Guess what? Writers are still going to find places to tell those stories and try to stop them. You can't.
I think that losing Grantland, the thing that to me is worrying or upsetting is that what Grantland was the home for hybrid literary social commentary and criticism. It was super intelligent, and now that they're not doing it, not many places are funding that. But in terms of Grantland being the home of long-form journalism in its traditional reported sense, that's just not true.
Okay, I just have one other question for you guys. What do you have against stuff that rhymes?
My contract with my publisher probably precludes things that rhyme.
All right, I won't send you any more stuff that rhymes then, I guess.
It's a little tough to get that through the front office, you know?
And Bill, look, I know you're a beloved American voice, but please don't send me any more sports stories that start "There once was a man from Nantucket."
For the record, I've never done that, but okay, I'll be very careful in the future.
Come on.
Wright Thompson is the guest editor of the 2015 edition of Best American Sports Writing. Thank you very much for joining me, Wright.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
And Glenn Stout is the series editor, which is a job he's held since 1991. Glenn, always a pleasure for me.
Thank you so much, Bill.